You're listening to the Packaging Perspectives Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Packaging Perspectives Podcast. I'm Derek Thiel, content manager for BNP Media's Packaging Group. Russian food retailer X5 Retail Group has recently published comprehensive sustainable packaging recommendations in 13 product categories. With me to share more about these recommendations and how supplier buy-in was achieved is Yana Sesniu, X5's Head of Sustainability. Thank you for joining me today, Yana.
Thank you.
And so for those who may be unfamiliar, can you tell us about X5?
Yes, so X5 Retail Group, actually we quite recently rebranded and we're now called X5 Group because we are moving away from just retail into new spaces. So X5 Group is the largest retail in Russia, grocery retailer. We have over 17,000 stores, reaching 18,000 in the near future. We have over 330,000 employees working for us across 66 regions. And we actually have a few different formats. So we have three main formats. We have the convenience stores. So it's the stores that are not very big in size, right next to you, sort of your neighborhood store that you need to pick up a few things. We have a supermarket store chain. And these are the biggest stores with a big assortment. And then we have the hypermarket chain. And on top of that, with the recent development, we are very much focusing on digitalization in the online channels. So we have a number of separate online offerings. For instance, we have an online hypermarket called frog.ru, which delivers everything you would expect from a hypermarket, as well as more sort of quick delivery. For instance, if you got your milk and you don't have time to go to a shop, you can download an app and then very quickly, within an hour, you'll get your milk through our Perekrostok Bystro or Pyatrochka Bystro stores.
So that's great. So this is happening in a number of different venues, not just one type. So with regard to that, can you give me a brief overview of what the recommendations are, and so what types of packagings do they cover, and maybe even how that affects, how those different types of packaging may affect the different recommendations, may affect those different types of chains?
I think it makes sense to take a step back just to sort of understand why we did those recommendations to start with. So about 2 years ago, being number one player, we realized that we shouldn't be just doing sort of separate initiatives on sustainable development, but rather develop a comprehensive strategy that covers all the key areas where we can have an impact and helps us understand where we're going with our sustainable development. It is an absolutely crucial sort of core target to us to be sustainable. Hence why we decided to really sort of approach it in a comprehensive way. One of the areas that is important to us is obviously everything to do with the sustainable use of resources. And packaging is such a big concept, right, within that. So obviously you have all those products, whether it's food or non-food, in various packaging. And we want to make sure that A, we understand what sustainable packaging is, and then B, really try and increase the number of sustainable packaging items on our shelf. But to do that, we first of all needed to understand what sustainable packaging really is. And when we try to sort of look for one specific answer of what is sustainable, is it just recyclable, or is it that it's recycled, or is it biodegradable? You know, you have so many buzzwords these days, right? We realized that actually there isn't one sort of single truth, and quite a few different stakeholders, our partners, recycling companies, eco-activists, they speak different language. We weren't on the same page. So being a leader in the Russian market, we decided that before we even set any targets on what sustainable packaging we should have in the stores, how much of it, we really should have a definition of it. Hence why we did a sort of a two-phase approach. First of all, we developed a general guideline on what is sustainable packaging. And really, it was an overview of different types of materials, the design that the packaging can have, the communications that the suppliers can provide to the customers through us that is sustainable or the greenwashing type, and so on. So we did that. And very quickly, we realized that actually, having spoken to our suppliers, it's not enough to just do sort of general guidelines that the packaging should be recyclable, or it should be made from recycled material, or it should be used for more than once. Rather, we need to look into specifics of each category. Why? Because the shampoo packaging and the, for instance, meat packaging are two very different things, right? And you can't really just say, oh, it's the same thing, just make it recyclable. No, there are certain specifics in terms of barrier entry and the characteristics to keep the temperature, the quality, the shelf life to the same level while making sure that it is sustainable. Hence why we did this big, big exercise of looking into the whole of our assortment matrix, and that's quite a few thousand of SKUs for us, and really separating and splitting them into specific categories. So we'd have the dairy, you'd have the eggs, you would have the non-food, and each one of them as a separate and really, you know, a different entity that needs to be looked at. We developed those 13 categories, and then for each one of them, we really looked into making sure that we understand what are the requirements from the sort of product shelf life, from the specifics of the entry barrier to the category, and then what are the alternatives on the market. To give you a simple example, for instance, the fresh meat, there aren't that many alternatives to the plastic packaging that you have. So if you want to make sure that meat stays the same amount, you really don't have many options. Of course, you can say make it super recyclable, but then the shelf life of your meat halves. And then what you need to do in order to satisfy the demand that the customers have, you need to grow more cows, more trees are getting cut. And actually, if you think about the whole complex value chain, it's not really sustainable because you're decreasing on one side and yet you are increasing on the other side. So we did that big exercise of actually looking from the different alternatives to make sure that it's not just, just sustain green or not, right? It's holistic from the business perspective, from the product perspective, and from the sustainability perspective. And we've developed that, and it was quite an intensive exercise. It took us about 6 months, and it took a few stakeholders to get on board, you know, to make sure that we get different view. But yeah, we've published them quite recently, and we're quite proud of them.
So what would you say is the driving force behind the creation? I mean, you mentioned at the very start of that last question that a lot of it was corporate responsibility. We mm-hmm. see in North America a lot of, it's mostly consumer driven. It's the consumers want a sustainability. Whereas also I would say maybe in Europe that it's also governmental regulations. Would you say mm-hmm. that there's similarities with what was happening with what you saw in terms of the driving force behind that?
I think it's a bit of everything, really. So we do have sort of a push and pull feel to the whole thing. So first of all, obviously, we are very customer centric, and we can see that customers are becoming more and more focused on what they're buying, the type of packaging they're buying. And you can see the dynamics in terms of their, the purchasing behavior, that they are starting to vote with their wallet on the type of packaging, type of product they buy. So that's the first thing. Second thing, of course, it's maturity of our company. So we understand our responsibility. We are number one by far, and we have a big impact, positive impact, and we want to make sure that our impact just grows in all areas. And thirdly, of course, there is, especially now, there is a lot of dynamics in terms of government understanding, I would say, and brainstorming and recommendations. So we don't have yet the specific like sort of banning regulations in the country, and yet there is a lot of there are a lot of conversations, a lot of debates happening at the government level on should we prohibit the straws, the single-use straws, or do we need to look at the plastic differently. And that's why actually the timing coincided and helped us build even better sort of noise and discussion about the recommendation.
Yeah, and also being the largest, food retailer,
absolutely.
That
yeah.
it sets a great example for others, as well as because you have this large footprint that if you're to green mm-hmm. your footprint, that it's really going to make a difference.
And yes, but one thing that needs to be sort of kept in mind is that when it comes to sustainable development, even no matter how big you are size-wise, right, you can't do it alone. So there needs to be a collaboration across the whole of value chain. Otherwise, we issue those recommendations Mind you, it's not the regulation, it's not the requirements, it is a recommendation. And then someone else with issues are completely different. And then the consumer gets confused, the partners get confused. So the key driving force for this sort of work to become successful was the collaboration across the whole of value chain.
And then, yeah, so we just talked about this a little bit. You know, the recommendations weren't decided just by X5 Group. So whom did you reach out to for input regarding the recommendations?
So it was a sort of a few phases approach. We started by, first of all, as I said, looking at our assortment matrix and dividing into the each category into 13 categories. And then for each one of them, together with the experts from a consulting company, developed the sort of the first draft of what we think is sustainable. After that, we chose 2 to 3 largest suppliers for each of the category and had a one-on-one session with them where we presented our findings and really sort of wanted to hear as much feedback as possible. You know, the things that we didn't consider, obviously we're not a production company, so there were specifics that needed to be taken into account. So we did that. We included that in sort of phase two, right? Phase one, we developed ourselves. Phase two, we included the suppliers. Phase three, after we went for every single category with the suppliers, so we had involved about 26 or 28 suppliers for that phase two approach. We went to the experts. So it's the recycling companies. It's the producers of the raw materials, because you have the different raw materials that have different specifics and packaging materials. And then the producers of packaging, that's again another 20 experts or so that we sat down with one-on-one in order to go through each of the category, understand the specifics and things that we might have missed or didn't include. Having done that, we realized that actually sometimes we were getting, not that it was contradicting, but rather, you know, dubious information in terms of what is good and what is not. So what we decided to do is sort of create a round table, a big meeting where we invited everyone. And over 100 companies sat down in that round table with us, where we really finalized all the recommendations. So we presented what we found out through the conversations and our research. And then we heard the sort of the final feedback. We got the last few comments that needed to be included. And based on that, we published them end of second quarter this year.
So you get all of these people together, all these different groups together, stakeholders, get the recommendations and then publish them. What sort of feedback have you gotten so far, either from the consumers or the other stakeholders or other entities in the retail space?
Well, I have to be very honest. It's been overwhelmingly positive. So first of all, because we are the first retailers. In fact, it's the first case in Russia where such a big exercise was done together with all the stakeholders of the value chain, right? No one else has done it before. So that's the first thing. So that was quite exciting for everyone, that everyone got involved, everyone sort of got a seat at the table and had a voice. Second of all, the very sort of topic of the case, the recommendations. It's so hot right now, right? With the government discussions and the customers wanting it, that everyone really supported the fact that they were developing, that we were developing those recommendations, and actually that it was done in a collaboration. And even though it's a recommendation, we actually, since we published them, have seen an increased number of suppliers coming to us to discuss the type of packaging they have, and really some of them committing and saying, listen, 2 or 3 SKUs from your from our assortment doesn't fit your packaging recommendations, but we take a year and we promise to come back with better alternatives. So it has such a great impact. Obviously, from customer perspective, we can see that there is a lot of positive feedback through our channels. We had store managers receiving sort of praises from the customers who are buying the packaged goods, saying, "Oh my God, I heard you guys doing that. That's amazing." So yeah, I'm really, really happy about how it, you know, ended up being so such a good thing.
So it really sounds like your company is setting the bar. And then it's that trickle-down effect that's happening all throughout the supply chain and getting the customers. And so having gone through all of this, What advice would you give to another organization or company looking to do something similar?
It's a really good question. So I would say a couple of things. First of all, start small. So don't try to sort of cover everything. Like we started with just defining what is sustainable. We didn't go into the details of each category straight away, right? It took us a bit of time so that we sort of matured and got ourselves comfortable with the different alternatives. Second of all, and that's the most important thing, engage everyone from the value chain as early as possible. Because I think the main roadblock that can happen, it wasn't as big or as problematic to us simply because we engaged everyone. But what can happen is that you can get certain resistance from other players if you know you just come up with a final product and you say this is final. Rather, collaborate with them and do it together to A, get a great perspective, so much knowledge, and B, get the support that you need to really move the wheel going.
You've gotten this. The recommendations are out there. You're making a difference already. What are you going to do afterward? What's the follow-up for X5 Group?
It never stops, right? The work never stops. Well, a few things. First of all, it's obviously educating and informing all of our stakeholders about the work that we have done. And that means internally and externally. So we're doing a big exercise in terms of educating our internal commercial functions and marketing functions on what we have done, why it is important, and what it means when they have the conversation with the suppliers or any other parties, so that they are aware and actually they can use the knowledge and the recommendations to really follow through with our targets. Second of all, it's educating externally. So it's we have more than 6,000 suppliers. So we want to make sure that every single one of them is aware of those recommendations. And we are planning to do a number of webinars where we invite our suppliers to talk about the recommendations, answer any uneasy questions, and really help support them in understanding, sort of getting used to them. And thirdly, well, the work really never stops. So now we developed it at the level of 13 categories. But one of the great feedback that we got is, guys, this is great. We need to go deeper. For instance, within jars, you have the jars for baby food and not baby food. We need to look into baby food. There are certain specifics that we need to look into. So yeah, it never stops. There is more. The sky's the limit. But we're definitely on the right track.
Well, thank you, Jana, for sharing all of this information with us today, with our audience. It sounds like you've got great things in store. Well, you've already done something great, and you've got more great things in store. And thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this Packaging Perspectives podcast. Thanks again to Jana Senesiu for sharing how X5's recommendations came to be. You can find out more about X5's sustainability goals by visiting esg.x5.ru. For more news, products, and features like this, visit packagingstrategies.com.